When the Sabbath had passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And the women went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let's pray. Speak, Lord, for we, your servants, are listening. Speak to us again this morning through the sound of a stone being rolled away. Speak to us from the account of the women who witnessed this miracle. Speak to us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that we too might join the celebration that Jesus is alive. Speak to us, for we, your servants, are listening. Amen. I want you to put yourself back there for a moment, back to Friday. Not just this past Friday where we celebrated Good Friday and the resurrection or in the crucifixion of Jesus, but I want you to put you back to that original Friday when the first followers of Jesus watched him be brutalized, crucified. When they watched the one that held all of their hopes, and they watched as his head bowed in death. Devastation, right? There was no hope then. There was no promise of resurrection at that point in their minds, in their hearts. Everything had been dashed. Everything had been destroyed. All their hopes and dreams crushed. I mean, do you remember some of the things that they were hoping for? Jesus, this is the guy. This is the one that's going to come and change everything. And then they watched him beaten, whipped, nailed. They watched him die. You ever been there? When all your hopes and dreams are yanked from you, ripped from your heart, from your soul. Soren Kierkegaard, a philosopher and theologian, once said that the most painful state of being is remembering the future, particularly the one you'll never have. Meaning it is a cruel kind of pain when you lose hope, when everything you're hoping for, your future, when it's taken from you, that crushes you, right? My mother-in-law, shortly after she buried her dear husband, of course, in the midst of all the grief, was able to pinpoint a specific painful grief because they had both just retired and they were just about to start doing the things they'd been dreaming about their whole life. Do you know that pain? That's where the disciples are. Everything was gone. He was the one that was going to change it all. He was the one where all of their hopes rest, where everything rested. And he was gone. He was gone. The Christian faith, primarily, is not a philosophy. The Christian faith is not primarily a moral code. The Christian faith is not primarily a spiritual thing. It's not a, I mean, it encompasses those things, but that's not what it is at its core. The Christian faith is not a teaching, it's not a belief, it's none of those things fully. What it is completely, and it makes it unique from all the other religions in the world. Our faith is based on an event, something that happened. In fact, that's why we call it good news, right? The good news of Jesus. I don't know about you, but news is always about something that has happened, right? Our faith launches out of an event, something that happened. This event, the sound of stone being rolled away from stone, the one who was dead coming to life and coming out of that grave, an event. That's why we call it good news. Because it's something that happened. You've had good events in your life. Things that change you, right? When you met your loved one, when you got married, when you gave birth, when you got a promotion, when you took a trip. Good events, good moments, things that happened, right? You have those things that change you and change your story. The resurrection of Jesus is the hinge upon which all the universe swings. Everything is different because of this day. Everything is different. And because it was an event, you know what it had? It had witnesses. Witnesses. The four Gospels, they each tell a different portion of the story in a different way with different things that they emphasize, and all of them have two things in common. Well, three. One, that Jesus was alive. They all proclaim that. But the other two things that they have in common are that it happened early on the first day of the week, and the first ones to hear about it, the first ones to witness this event were women. The number changes. But it was women that first appeared at the tomb. I love that. I think that's powerful. Because the fact is, the reality is, that in first century Jerusalem, the witness of a woman didn't matter much. It didn't count in the court of law. It was considered less. It was inferior. And I love that our Lord celebrates this greatest moment in history that changes everything, this event, and the first people to witness it are women. That's powerful. You ever been, thought less of because of who you are? Has your word ever mattered less? Because of your gender? Because of your skin color? Because of your position? Because of your age? Because of your ability? You ever struggled with validity? I love that Jesus changes the world with his resurrection, and the first persons he tells about it are women. That's powerful. If you've ever felt like your voice mattered less, Jesus has a different story for you. Jesus is a different story for you. I think that's important. I think that's powerful. Because when you have an event, you need a witness. And this event changes everything. About 9 years ago, I was in Denmark. I was teaching a bunch of adults about how to pass faith on to their families. And as I was there, I was teaching, and a woman raised her hand and said, Can I tell you a quick story? I said, of course. She had a son who was 6 years old named David. David liked to talk. David didn't know when to stop talking. You know anything about that? They were driving in their car one day, and as often happened, David would share whatever it was that came in his mind. And this happened, and they're there, and David in the back seat looks at his mom and says, Mom, God is going to have so much fun when he opens all those treasure boxes. What are you talking about, David? You know, God's going to have so much fun. Okay, when he opens the treasure boxes. What are you talking about, David? You know, the treasure boxes. Huh? You know, the treasure boxes, the boxes that people lie down in. Caskets. That's what he was talking about. God is going to have so much fun. Think about it. God is going to have so much fun one day when he opens up every single coffin. And he is going to cry out, live. Come alive. Rise up. This is Jesus. It was Joseph of Arimathea that took Jesus down from the cross on Friday. I imagine he did it with tender care and compassion in heart, tenderly prying Jesus' hands off of the cross, right? Can you picture it? Said he just purchased a space and a land, and in that there was a tomb carved out of the rock. Nobody had ever been laid in it. And Joseph of Arimathea is the one that took the body of Jesus, the lifeless body of Jesus, and put it in the tomb. Other gospels say that he is the one that brought all the spices, all the ointment, 75 pounds worth of spices and ointment to put on the body of Jesus. That amount is equated to he was burying a king. And he gave him his tomb. Said, Jesus, you rest here. And that's all Jesus did. He rested. It's not his final location. You go to the tomb of Jesus today, it's empty. It's empty. Because Jesus is alive. And his promise is that because he borrowed for a short time the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, he looks upon us and says to you, your final resting place isn't final. Because God is going to have so much fun one day when he opens your treasure box and you are alive. In him. Dry bones rattling. And the breath of God coming in your lungs. This is our hope. This is the good news. So the final question is, will you be a witness? Will you report on this good news? Will you tell the story of who Jesus is? Will you be the next apostles that go and proclaim and lift up and celebrate that because of Jesus, because he lives, you will live also. You will live also. In the name of Christ, amen.